I want to go with what the Lord has put in my heart. Get your Bibles and go to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 6. Hallelujah. Give me a minute. Before you go to 2 Samuel, just mark that. If you're on your tablets or whatever, or you're taking notes, just mark 2 Samuel 6, verses 1 all the way to 23. Verses 1 through 23. But first, what I want to read from you is where we begin our particular series that we're on is in 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. Colleen, when you have 2 Kings 13, verses 14 through 19, will you read it, please? 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19.
When Elisha was in his last illness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel, he cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hands on the king's hands. Then he commanded, open that eastern window. And he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground three times. But the man of God was angry with him. You should have struck the ground five or six times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only three times. Then Elisha died and was buried. Groups of Moabite raiders used...
Okay, you can stop right there. Okay. Stop right there. I want you to go to the verse where it says, open the east window. Verse 17, then he commanded, open the eastern window, and he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow, an arrow of victory over Aram, for you will completely conquer the Arameans. Here's what I want to share with you today is there are windows of opportunity and windows of choices. Windows of opportunity and windows of choices. We all have a choice. We all have an opportunity to seize the window of opportunity. Amen. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that it begins to be the very substance that is necessary to drive us into our destiny, to lead us to the place that you've called us to be, to become who you called us to become. And let us, Father, make the right choice to follow after you. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. These are windows of opportunity. Now, if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, I'm going to read this out of the NIV, beginning at verse 1. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000, and all of his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who was enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all the Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with the castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. Verse 6, when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of the irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah. And to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts, and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. She watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." Lord Jesus. I could just imagine her as she was giving that statement to him. Come on now. You know how animated you guys can be now. I don't have to. Or do that whole thing with that finger that goes like 10 miles. I mean, looking at that camera right there. Have you ever had a woman just come and tell you truth? But her truth is her reality, but not the truth. Oh, let me help you. Just because a reality and a perception to her didn't mean it was a real truth. See, David did something that was truthful and meaningful from the heart unto God. But someone that was given unto him, watch this, that was given unto him by Saul because he defeated the giant. This was his prize, his reward from a battle that he had won that no one wanted to fight. So the same woman that he has taken in for his own is the one that comes against them from a window. She said she was despising him within her heart. The Holy Ghost knows what you're thinking and what you're feeling at all times. You think nobody knows? I wonder how David knew about this. He comes home to bless his household. Baby, you should have seen the anointing that was on me today. Man, I was just praising God. What's wrong with you? I make cakes and we gave it to everybody. They had raisins and dates. And, oh, my God, it was so good. Why are you looking at me like that? I was just doing every sacrifice that I knew for God because he was so. Why are you mad? Have you ever had an opportunity that was for you to praise God, to thank God for what he's done in your life, but someone was looking from a window that despised your praise? Oh, is it just me? Well, if I did preach to myself, then I preach to myself. Yes, I've had people look at me from a distant window and despise in their heart how God can be blessing you but not blessing me. But you see, your reality is come by base of your perception on what you choose to believe.
She chose to believe that it was vulgar and disrespectful. But it said in there that he was dancing with an ephod. That is called the will of God. But it said that the ephod was made out of what? Linen. How many of you have some linen? How many of you have some linen? Linen. Doesn't it easily wrinkle? Just to prove to you that the will of God is delicate. It's light, but it allows the breath of God to come in. It breathes very well. It doesn't allow for you to perspire, making a point that is not based on your works or your effort. It's God's effort through you that brings about the change that's necessary for you. So when he was dancing before the Lord, half naked, if you would, don't get the visual, stop it. But what is happening is he is going before God, praising him because he had made a choice previously that cost somebody else their life. No, don't miss this. There is always a window of opportunity. It's what you're going to do with your choices that will determine your outcome. Okay, let me just try to teach this to y'all. See, they were bringing the cart. It says a new cart. God never instructed the Ark of the Covenant to be put on a cart. It was always to be carried upon the shoulders. But when we think that we can outsmart God because we're engineers and we know how to do a thing or two, there is such a thing that is made of wheels now, like we have evolved to make wheels, and we can put this spoke through it, and we can put these just like the chariots, and if we just put the ark, we don't have to work at it, we'll make the oxen work for us. But that's not how it was prescribed. So who stumbled? Did the men stumble or the ox stumble? Scripture says the ox, but man stumbled the moment they purposed in their heart to do something that was not prescribed by man. It was already going to be the wrong thing to do because he made a choice. We all make choices in our life, but the choice that you make can make it or break it. I'm just trying. Hallelujah. Welcome to the house of manna. This is the word of the Lord. There is something that is coming to you that's going to make you think you can do it a better way than what God said. Somebody up here with me? We have evolved, Pastor. We're not the same like we used to be. We can do. You even studying just like Moses is, because you know it's wrong. If God said for you to do it a certain way, you have a choice to do it the way he said. When the king went to Elisha, he said, "Open the eastern window." What if that king, since it wasn't his home, it was Elisha's home. What if he didn't know which way, which window? It was the prophet telling him, you better already know the pattern. You already better know that the sun is coming up from the east so that you can look towards where your enemy is at. Because if you choose a different window, then you're never going to have victory over your enemy. You have a choice. Now choose right. So he chooses the right window. Amen. He chose the right window. He chose the one from the east. And then he says, shoot. So he goes through everything he tells him to do. But he never heard him say, stop. So when he stopped, it's so crazy how the Bible's written. He gets mad. The prophet got mad at him. I did everything right. No. You did not do what I told you to do, strike the ground. But yes, I did. I struck it 3 times. Did you hear me say, stop? I was trying to teach you. Maybe you would have prolonged my life if you would have listened. But by your choice, maybe I have to go to the grave early. Because no longer is the word valid if you don't follow it all the way. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this one. You don't want to hear this. Oh, I got a word from the Lord. Follow it all the way through. What hadn't come to pass yet, it's been 8 years. He never said when it was going to happen. But the moment you stop, so does that word. They don't want to hear it. Oh, Pastor, give me another word. You sure you want another word? You sure you want another word? Because the real truth of the fact that when you do receive a true prophetic word, you're about to go through hell for it to come to pass. But Pastor, don't prophesy to me no more. Don't prophesy to me. I've been going through some stuff. I don't want no. Just, you're looking fun. You got that look in your eye. Don't look at me, Pastor. Don't look. I know you. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. That's the thing. You're looking at me, but you're not trusting God. What is coming your way has already been predetermined and predestined because he knows the choices that you're going to make. Did he not foreknow us before the foundations of the world? Did he not predestine us before the foundations of the earth? He says, before you were formed, I knew you. I knew the choices you were going to make. So according to my plan and purpose for your life, I've already made provisions for your choices. If you make a choice that's wrong, that will hurt you or hurt somebody else, God is not trying to impose his will on you. He just knows how you're going to make a choice and what choice you're going to make. So based upon what he already knew of you, he made something come to that point where you made your choice. See, we think that because when things happen to us, oh, this is God trying to get my attention. No, you made some choices. And when you make some choices, they can be choices of opportunities, or they can be choices of penalty. See, David's wife, who was given by way of victory, who she was a king's daughter, didn't ever have to be like a shepherd's wife. She was always a king's daughter. So she didn't understand sacrificial praise. No, no, you don't miss this. She didn't understand sacrificial praise. Because she always had whatever she needed. She would just think it and it was brought. Whatever she already had, she could just ask, bring that to me. There wasn't a need for her to praise and worship God that would make her to lose her natural mind and put on the mind of Christ. That says, I don't know what's ahead of me based on what's already collected to me, but I do know this, that David knew how to be a shepherd boy out in the wilderness. He already knew how to kill a lion and a bear. He already knew how to deal with a giant, but what he didn't know how to deal with are some choices in his life based upon his own intellectual standards. Oh. David knew how to go before the Lord and ask and inquire of God what to do. But when he began to move the cart, he didn't go and inquire God. He did it by inquiring man. You better be careful who you're asking advice from. Hallelujah. Walk like a duck, quack like a duck. It's a duck. If you see, I amuse myself, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Ooh. And that wasn't even the funny part. Quack like a duck, quack like a duck. That's not funny. Ooh. But one second. When something just hits you and comes over you. Oh, Lord. Woo. My God. Thank you. Thank you. Woo. I know that because
thank you.
my God. I have no clue. I'm just trying to be distinguished. A funny joke. I had nothing to do with it. Oh my God. Amen. If y'all are visiting today, whoa. See, Kelly got it back there. She can't stop now. I don't look. Y'all know me. I don't play. You. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful week. Oh my God. And then I felt like stuff on my face and oh, what it was. Look. Woo. This is only the second time this has ever happened. Look, if some of you religious folks are in here doubting it, doubt all you want. I don't care. I don't care. He knows my heart, and the one that really knows me, my wife knows I don't do this. If that's not of God, then stay sour all your life. My God. I'm not even gonna attempt. Let's just come on. I'm not even gonna attempt. Come on, man. Wow. This is a real church, right? I mean, I can be me. I used to be a drug addict, a drunk, womanizer, to get what I wanted. But when I get under that, it's only the second time in my life. There is no drug. There is no drink. There is nothing like it. It was nothing said. It was nothing that would do that. It was just him. I felt like my wife, when she's chatting and she tries to stop it, I try to stop it. Yes, ma'am. But it was beautiful in a sense that I couldn't control it. I mean, I try to stop it. I don't know if he's dealing with my pride because I'm like, oh, I got the camera. I'm going to put it on YouTube. It's going to be, stop. But it was like just I guess he just allowed me to see what David was feeling. Dancing before the Lord and didn't care because it had nothing to do with no duck. At all. He just, all of a sudden, joy just flooded me. And I was like, oh my God. And all I can do is tell you this, it's your choice to receive. You know, a religious mind would have stopped it. A religious mindset would have said, that's not of God, it's nothing but the devil. That's an ignorant mindset because you based an answer on something that you don't know. But what you don't know, you can experience and become to know it in His presence. And I choose to receive what He has for us. Even if it makes no sense here on earth, I don't live in that realm. I live in the realm of the Holy Spirit. I believe everything that Jesus did, everything that He did, and He said we could do greater. I believe what He wants for us is to have these experiences. He says, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. That means He wants you to have joy, the unspeakable joy, for you to walk in the fullness, walk in your healing, to let every heaviness go. Choose this day. What's your opportunity that's been afforded to you? I choose joy. I choose Jesus. I choose life. I choose salvation. I choose whom I will follow. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is alive. He is well. And He is dispersing joy. Joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on, just come to the altar. Just come to the altar. Get what He wants for you to get. Receive what He wants for you to receive. See what He wants you to see. Touch what He wants you to touch. Taste what He wants you to taste. Experience what He wants you to experience. It's your choice. It's your choice. You choose it. If you choose it, you can have it. If you see it, you can perceive it as your reality. You've got to step in, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like. Choose this day. There's a window that is open for you. It is a window of opportunity that is here for you. As you stand at this altar, Pastor, I didn't even get the message. What was the message? Who knows? It says that we're to hear the good news. The good news. Not condemnation. Not that you're a sinner. If you keep telling me I'm a sinner, I'm going to believe it. I'll be a sinner. But if you tell me I'm set free, if you tell me I've been loosed, if you tell me that I can have joy, if you tell me that Jesus came to make all of this available to me, then I choose this day to receive Jesus, not just to believe, but to follow after Him. He's releasing joy. All the joy is coming to you. It's coming back to you. It's coming back to you. Receive your joy. Receive it. Just believe it. Why am I standing up here believing something? Because if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Woo! Too many words have wounded your heart. That's you, baby, right here, sitting right next to Kelly. Too many wounds to your heart. Too many words that has made you, at sometimes, not all the times, that sometimes made you believe what has been said because it's been a pattern in your life that has come your way. And I want to tell you that the things that are not for you, that have been against you, are being severed today. It may hurt. When in reality, what's ahead of you is better than what you have. If you don't see yourself growing into something bigger than you today, you'll stay in the pattern that you've been following. It's going to challenge you to grow, to go to a new place, to grow into something new. Trust it. Trust it. If you leave here today and say, I don't know what church was about. All I know is that crazy man just started laughing and laughing and laughing. When you get home, get in the car, whatever the timing is of God, that peace is going to resonate within you. And you made the right choice even though it hurt. Even though you didn't make, you felt like this couldn't be, this can't be, you made the right choice. I don't know the choice. I don't even know you. But He does. Receive your peace. Receive your joy. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. This is an opportunity. Here's your window. Here's your window. Here's your window of opportunity. Are you going to forget the neighbor that is standing next to you and just praise God like you just don't care? Are you going to praise Him like you're the only one in the room? Are you going to praise Him it's just like it's just you and Jesus? Are you going to shout with the voice of triumph? They were shouting before the Ark of the Covenant. They were shouting before the presence. And they started to praise God. The people in the windows started taking notice. They started looking down from someone that was below that was getting ready to be lifted up to a place of kingdomship. They're going to be in a place of influence. They're going to be in a place that says, I'm no longer where I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. Nothing is going to stop me from becoming who God says I'm going to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Oh. My. Oh, you're so good, Daddy. You're so good. Jesus, right now. Under the auspice of the Holy Spirit right now, Father, I thank You that the third person of the Trinity is moving about right now. In the midst of Your children, Lord. I thank You that the Holy Spirit is now touching on the very hearts, touching in the very area of their life. That joy is necessary. See, the strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if the enemy has robbed you of your joy, it's time for us to start laughing in the face of the enemy. Say, you should have taken me out. Because you didn't take me out, I still have breath in my lungs. I can still give praise unto the Lord. I can lift up holy hands. I can say, Lord, You are good and worthy to be praised.